Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Nun Vav. We are learning today Lili Nishmas Bernard Shulman, Rav Nachum Ber Ben Chaim. All the chance we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety of all of the Chayalim. We have heard so many stories this week, met with different Chayalim. Today, we visited many wounded Chayalim at Hadassah Hospital on Mount Scopus, and it was so phenomenal to see the unbelievable courage and the mesiras nefesh of these chayalim. Hashem should give them all a refuah shlema, should make them all be matzliach in everything that they do. They should bring back the chatufim, the hostages, as soon as possible in good health. And be'ezus Hashem, we should defeat our horrible enemy, the Hamas, Rishoyim, Yimach Shemom Zichrom, as soon as possible. Okay, we pick up the Gemara on Nun Vav Amud Aleph. 12 lines on the top with the words Vesu Lekha. In yesterday's share, we had listed that there were four things that Rav Yeshua brought down that we are Potter Midine Adam B'chai Midine Shemayim. And he specifically listed only four. So the Gemara says today, Vesu Lekha, are there no more than four? Those are the only four dinim where you're Chayiv Midine Shemayim, but you're Potter Midine Adam. So the Gemara says, we'll show you five other cases where that seems to have the same din. Potter midine adam b'chay midine shemayim, and we have a siman for this siman oseh b'sam v'shaliach chavero and nishbar, and these five words will represent the five cases that we're about to now discuss. In each of them, you're also potter midine adam b'chay midine shemayim. The first one is oseh melacha b'mechatas u'b'paras chatas. There is a prohibition against taking the water of the mechatas and using it, let's say, to balance something on the other side of a scale. So that is using the mechatas water. You're not allowed to use the mechatas water. It nullifies it. It makes it no good. And likewise, the paras chatas, you have the ashes of the para aduma or the para itself, you're not allowed to go and use them. If you use them, you nullify it. So these things are very expensive. And if somebody goes and uses them in this fashion, they've essentially made it no longer eligible to be a paraduma, which is a very big financial loss, and no longer eligible for it to be the mechatas, which is a significant financial loss. And therefore, if you go and ruin somebody else's paraduma or mechatas, since, as Rashi points out, this is a type of damage that's called the hezek she'eno nikar. That's Rashi's understanding. As you see, there's a Gilgan Ashasi or Kiva Eger has a whole discussion about this. Let's keep it nice and simple, just like Rashi. Rashi says that this is a damage that's not recognizable. There's no physical change in the mechatas or in the paras chatas if it did work, or it was used as a balance in a scale. And therefore, this is called hezek she'eno nikar. And lo shmei hezek, Rashi goes with the shita that that's not considered damage. So you didn't really do any damage to the person, and therefore you're part of midini adam. I midini shemayim, you're chai, because you really did cause the person damage. And this is the first of the five cases that we have, which are exactly the same as the first four cases that we brought from yesterday, from Rav Yeshua. Why did he only list those four? He could have listed this one and the other four that are still to come. So the next one is Va'ika. This is the mnemonic Bisam. Hanosin Sam Hamavis. You put poison. Asam Hamavis. Bifnei Behemas Chaveru. In front of your friend's animal, and your friend's animal eats it, and he dies. So therefore, you didn't directly cause this. This is a type of a damage that's an indirect damage. It's Groma Benizokin, and therefore you should be Potter. And that's the din. Potter B'dini Yodam. But Chayiv B'dini Shemayim, because ultimately, you were the one that put the poison over there. So therefore, you should be Chayiv B'dini Shemayim. So here's another example. This is the second one of the mnemonic. The third part of the mnemonic is v'sholiach. And here the case is va'iko. We have another case. Hasholiach es ha-be'era bi'adcheri shote v'koton. If you go and send a fire in the hands of either a cheri shote v'koton, all mentally incompetent people, either the person who can't hear and can't talk, he's not considered a barhachi, a shote, a person who's mentally incompetent, and he's crazy, v'koton, a person who's not a bar das because of his age, he's on the bar mitzvah. In all of these situations, you gave this fire to such a person since you didn't direct caused the fire, you're part of Bidini Adam. But V'chai Bidini Shemayim, because after all, you indirectly cause this damage. So here's another example. Now, Rashi points out there are a couple of ways to learn this, because we had it previously, there were two opinions, Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, exactly how to learn this. We have the opinion of Reish Lakish that says that he didn't actually give a fire to the Chai Rishot Katan, he only gave a coal, and he then, the Chai Rishot HaKotim, blew on the coal and turned it into a raging fire, and that's why the owner of this original coal is going to be Potter Midine Adam. If you gave a flame, according to Reish Lakish, to the Chai Rishot HaKotim, so then you are a true posheya, and it's as if you caused the damage yourself, and you would be chayav. So according to Reish Lakish, he gave him a coal, and the Chayav Shalom cut blew on it. According to Reb Yochanan, no, it's a very straightforward case. Even if you gave him a fire, since the bottom line is you didn't actually cause the damage, the Chayav Shalom cut and did, so you're only a grama benizokim, and you're part of b'dini adam, chayav b'dini shemayim. Bottom line is both Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan have another case over here of part of b'dini adam, chayav b'dini shemayim. So here's our third kasha on why did we only list four from yesterday's shiur for Rav Yeshua. Another case, the fourth case of today, Bo'ika Hamavi says Chaveiro. If a person goes and scares somebody else, Rashi explains that he, let's say, blew like a shofar in his ear. Taka lo biosta. The word taka could mean either you actually gave him a zetz in the ear, but more frequently it's referred to as like he blows a loud shofar in the guy's ear and piss him. Suddenly, Uba'asa, when he scared the guy, the low of it being he didn't actually touch him. He didn't cause a physical damage to the guy, but he blew in his ear, and that startled the guy, and it caused damage. So therefore, Amavis and Schavero, technically, since you didn't directly cause the damage, you're part of the other, but again, since you really did cause the damage, the Chayav Dini Shemayim. Oh, here's another fourth case where Rabbi Yeshua didn't mention it, and the question is, why not? And here's the fifth and final case that we have today in the mnemonic. This is Nishbar. For Ika, we have this case as well. Nishbar Kado. Person has some sort of a jug or a container in the Shus Rabin, below Silka, and he didn't remove it. It broke, and he didn't remove it. Or alternatively, Noflo Gemalo, his camel fell down in the Shus Rabin, below Hamida, and he didn't lift it right up. So Rav Meir says in both of these scenarios, Mechayev Bezekon, the owner of the jug, the owner of the camel, is going to be Chayev, because you should have gone and picked it up. However, the Chachamim Amrim, part of it in the other, and the Chayiv in the Shemayim. The Chachamim say, no. Bottom line is, you're not Chayiv of him in the other, either for one of two reasons. Again, this is something that we had previously. Rashi brings down the one Chav Tesla with Aleph. And if you see in Rashi, Rashi says, in Dira Maskev Rebeo, Chayiv Bezek, and he says, this Machlokis Pluksayu, Mitrisho of Abiyah Chazakad, it's found in the Perchim in Yechazakad and Dav Chav Tesla, as I said, Beniska Posheh. Is it because we say that the person who was not careful about the jug breaking in the Shus Rabim or the animal falling sees a posheya, and therefore that's why you're going to be chayev? Or is it because of mafkir nizakim? Or alternatively, it's because the opinion is that you're not a posheya if your animal falls, then what can you do? Your animal fell. But no, you're a posheya for not removing the camel right away and not removing the broken container, the shards right away. So therefore, Rav Meir is Mechayim Hezek. And Rav Meir says, Yechayim in this situation, whereas the Chacham say, part of it in the other, Mechayim in the Shemayim. So here we have the fifth and final case from today that says, we have all of these cases that you're part of it in the other, Mechayim in the Shemayim. So why did Rabbi Shua not list them? And he only listed four in yesterday's year. So where it says, you're right. In. You're 100% right. Mia Ikatuba. There are many more than the four that Rabbi Shua listed. There actually were nine. Four from yesterday, five from today. So why didn't Rabbi Shua list them? So Bari says, Bahani, it's Tzrichli. The four that Rabbi Shua specifically listed are needed. What are they needed for? To teach us that even Bidei Shamayim Yochayiv, you might have thought, Ma'u Detema, Bidei Shamayim, those first four cases from Yeshua, which we'll see inside again in a second what they are, Lo Lichayiv, even Bidei Shamayim. Bidei Shamayim, Nami Lo Lichayiv. Oh, Kamash Lon, that's why Rabbi Shua had to list them. These new five cases today, it's clear that Yochayiv Bidei Shamayim. Why would you think you're not? You ultimately caused that guy damage. So therefore, you're held liable b'din shemayim, even though you may not be liable b'din adam. However, the four that we learned from yesterday, the chiddush is that you might have thought you should not be chayav b'din shemayim for them, and therefore, kamash v'lan that you are. Now, what are these four cases? And let's go over them again. The first one was, ha'poreitz geder b'fnei behemes chaveru. If you broke the wall before an animal, the animal got out, so in that situation, you're chayav b'din shemayim, but you're poti b'din adam. Now, why? Mal detema, I might have actually thought, kivan de lemisterei koi, as we had spoken out yesterday, we had said that we're dealing here with a wall that was a kosel ra'ua. It was a wall that was essentially a very weak, bad wall, a kosel ra'ua, and it has to come down. It's a hazard. It's going to fall on somebody. It's just a question of time before it breaks and causes damage. So therefore, you have a mitzvah to take it down. So therefore, I might have thought, kiva de lemisterei koi, anybody that brings it down is actually doing a favor. So this person who broke this wall, instead of being held liable, should say, yasha koyach, you did everybody a favor. This potential damager is no longer here. You knocked it down. So I would have said, you know what? Certainly, if they are them, you're going to be potter. Even b'din shemayim, you should be potter. My Ovid, what did the guy do? He did the right thing. He did everybody a favor by knocking down this bid wall. B'din shemayim, not in l'chayim. I would have said he shouldn't even be chayim b'din shemayim. Oh, that's why Rav Yeshua had to list it, Kamash v'lon, to teach us that you are chayim b'din shemayim. And the next case, a similar idea. The case where you bent over the grain of your friend and it was able to be burnt, therefore, in the fire. Now, we had said that that was talking about an unusual fire. I would have said that only where it's a regular fire and I bend over the grain, so I understand that the fire is going to come there. But if I bent over the grain in a place where a regular fire can't reach it, I would have said, Mao de Temo, Lema, me have a Yodana, how was I supposed to possibly even know the Asirul She'en Mitzvah, that a hurricane is going to come and now make this reachable? So therefore, I should not be held liable, even Bidei Shemayim, certainly not Bidei Adam, but even Bidei Shemayim. Ubedina Shemayim, Namelo Lechayev. Oh, therefore, Kamashalom, that's why Rabbi Yeshua had to tell us the second case as well. Alternatively, you could say the reason for this is Ulu Ravashi Diomar Nami Tomu Nitmar, the case that we explained yesterday, is according to Ravashi that he covered up the grain. And now, when the fire comes, it's going to destroy something that is covered up. And something that is covered up is Tomun, and Tomun Be'esh is Potter. So therefore, Ravashi says he just covered up the grain. And therefore, I might have said, Ma'u Detema, I covered it up for you. As Rashi says, Shalot Tavir Bo Ha'esh Meir. I was doing you a favor. I covered up your grain. I put a fire blanket on it so hopefully it wouldn't burn. So therefore, I did a good thing. And therefore, Ubedine Shamayim Nami Lulachayim. One would have thought in this situation, you're not Chayim, not only Bidei Adam, but you're not even Chayim Bidei Shamayim. Oh, that's why Rabbi Yeshua asked the teachers, no, Kamash Lulan, that you are Chayim in this case as well. Okay, so that's the second explanation of the second case. Now, the third case, why do we need that? Vasocher Ede Sheker Nami. Why did Rabbi Yeshua have to go and tell us this case? The Gemara says, Ma'o Detema, because you know what I would have said? Lema Divrei Harab, Bidivrei HaTalmid, Mishomin. When you have the choice of listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or listening to the person, so how dare you go and listen to this person and ignore what Hashem said? Hashem said, don't testify falsely. And this guy says, I'll pay $100 if you testify falsely. So Divrei HaRav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Divrei HaTalmid, this guy, Divrei Mishomin, who should you listen to? So therefore, I might have said that this guy that tried to recruit or hire these false witnesses, so guess what? Since there's such an obvious reason that he shouldn't do this, you might have thought that even Bidei Shemayim is not going to be Chayav. Bidei Shemayim, not going to be Chayav, because Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Mishomim, so therefore, Kamash Ulan, no, that Rabbi Yeshua holds, in this situation, you are going to be Chayav, Bidei Shemayim. And finally, the fourth, the final case that he brought down, if a person knows Edus for his friend, but doesn't give it, so Nami, this is also an example. Well, you might have thought he's not chayiv even Bidei Shemayim, and that's why I'm sure to list it. Because Ma'al Detema, I would have said, Mi Yemar, who was going to say? We're talking yesterday about an Eid Echad, and we said that if this Eid Echad comes, so he's not going to make the guy liable for the money, but at least make him liable for Yeshua. And therefore, when he doesn't come to make him liable for Yeshua, that's why there's going to be a Dinei Shemayim aspect over here. So I might have thought, Ma'al Detema, who says that there's a Dinei Shemayim aspect here? Mi Yemar. Who is to say in this situation that the Chi Hava, when this guy comes along, Masadina Le, and says, I come to go and testify over here, Hava Moda, that the person who is testifying again is going to admit that he owes the money. You know what? Maybe Dilma have Mishtab al Shikra. Even though he now has to make a shura, he'll swear falsely. He's a bad guy. And therefore, I might have said, since you're knowing testimony for this person as an Eid Echad, is only causing him to make a shua, and you're hoping that he won't make the shua and will pay. No, maybe he'll make the shua, swearing falsely, and won't have to pay. And therefore, you might have thought you're not even doing something that you be chayev or midinei shemayim, or midinei shemayim, nami lo b'chayev. Therefore, kamash v'lan. Rabbi Yeshua had to teach us this case, and the other three cases, all four cases that Rabbi Yeshua taught us, needed to be taught because they all had an aspect of maybe you're even part of midinei shemayim, therefore, kamash v'lan. Yes, you're part of midinei adam, but you're going to be chayev, midinei shemayim, all four of them. And then the other five that we brought today, there was no shiloh right off of the bat. You're definitely part of midinei adam, but you're going to be chayev, midinei shemayim. Okay. Now we go back to the Mishnah. We quote the Mishnah, it said, Nipritzu Balai Law, if the animal broke out at night, O Shepertzua Listim V'chule, or if the robbers came and let it out at night, so then we said that the owner of this sheep that went and did damage is not going to be chayav for any of the damages that he did, because what's the poor guy supposed to have done? When he went to sleep, it was locked properly. And he didn't know that the walls were breached at night, or that Listim had come and let the animal out. So, on this part of the Mishnah, the way we have it right now, is Amar Rabba. Rabba tells us, V'husha Chosra. We're dealing here with the animal, let's say the sheep, went and dug out underneath the wall. And that's why Rabba says it's only if it dug out that you're going to be chayav. More questions. It says, Abba lo chosra mai, but if you didn't have the animal dig out underneath the wall, and that's why the wall fell, what would be the halacha? Then you'd be chayav? So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? Hechidavi. Ilema b'kosel bari. If you're talking about over here, that we're dealing with a regular, healthy, good, strong wall, b'kosel bari, so kilo chosra amai chayav. If the animal did not dig, so why would you be liable? Might have a little maybe. What's the poor guy supposed to have done? He did everything proper. How is he supposed to know that the animal is going to go and dig underneath it and make the wall collapse? That doesn't make any sense. Might have a little maybe. What was he supposed to do? He put it in a good wall. Ella, mustn't it be there? For Rabba says that you're talking about Picosal Ruah. We're talking about a very weak wall, a rickety type of a wall that's going to fall down. Ki chasra, so when the animal goes and digs underneath this wall, am I potter? Why would you think that you should be potter after all? Chilas of the pshia, the sofa be onesu. This is a classical example where you started off with pshia. You have a wall that is a lousy, bad wall. Aye, the animal went and dug underneath it. That's the onus. Still, you should be chayav to pay because of this principle. Chilas of the pshia, the sofa be onus, you're chayav. And Gemara says, that's work. It's not great. If you hold like that, that's actually a machlokas elsewhere. That is a machlokas where we have one man diomer, and this works out well according to that man diomer. Hanich le man diomer, tchilas of pshia. So the onus is potter. If you hold that while you started off with pshia, the bottom line is the end, it had nothing to do with the original pshia. There was something else that happened over here. So then you're potter. Oh, that works out very well with this. Tchilas of pshia, so the onus is potter. However, if you say, is in fact chayav, so then we're stuck over here. Why in this situation would you say that he's potter? Am I potter? In fact, you should be chayav. Bonus, chayav. And therefore, the tzof will be onus, chayav, you should have to go and pay. So Gemara says, no. When Rabba made his statement, it wasn't on the ratio of the Mishnah. Elamas nisim b'kosul bari. Our Mishnah is talking about a healthy wall. Vafilu l'chasra, and therefore, even if the animal didn't dig underneath the wall, the owner is going to be potter. And Rabba didn't have any comment on that. He says, yeah, you're dealing over here with a kosel bari, a regular, good, sturdy wall, and you're going to be potter whether the animal digs under it or the animal doesn't dig under it. Because what could you have done? You did it properly. So that's not where Rabba made his statement. If you had that Rabbi made a statement, you know where he said it? A safe it might. It was on the second part of the Mishnah, which said, Hinicha b'chama, if you put the animal in the hot sun, and that's going to be making it star, and it's going to go do crazy things. Or, or you handed over the reins to a cherishotin katan, and the animal got away from them, the yotz of zika. So then, in both of these scenarios, whether it was the cherishotin katan didn't properly watch the animal, or you left the animal in the sun, and it was mitztayer, and therefore you're chayev, because when the animal's in the sun, it's going to do anything to get out of the sun. So, on my rabbi, and on this rabbi said, Bafilu chosra, even if the animal dug underneath the wall, you are still going to be held liable, because you put the animal in the sun. And lo, my boy, you don't have to tell me the din, hechel lo chosra. Certainly, maybe chayev, if the animal got out in a regular way, without digging its way out. The kula b'pshihu. Obviously, there was negligence here from the very, very beginning. As Rashi points out, that an animal that is mitzvah in this fashion is going to do anything to go and get out. You can't contain such an animal. And therefore, of course, you're going to be chayav. So, lo mi boya, I didn't need to tell you the din, hechad lo chosra, where it didn't go and dig. Of course, you'll be chayav, because the kula b'pshihu is all pshia that you left it out there in the sun. Elo afilu chosra nami. The chiddush is, even if you went and the animal went and dug underneath the wall, you're still going to be chayav in this situation. Mal de temor, why? Why is that? Because I might have said, have a late chilazo with you yourself the onus. Ah, this would be an example of the chilo was pshia, and the sofa was an onus. After all, at that point in time, it's an onus that the animal did it. So therefore, kamash long, so Rabba's chiddush is the kula pshia. No, this is pshia from beginning to the end. Why? My timer. What's the reasoning? Because the person can be told, Neida yadas, the kivan the shafkosa b'chama, called tatzdaka the isla lenevad. If you leave this animal in the sun, it's going to be very upset. It's going to be very mitzvah. It's going to be physically in the sun all day, and it bothers it. So you should have known, Neida yadas, the kiva, the shafkos, since you place this animal in the sun, called tzedakah, the isla, the nevad, it will do anything it can to get out of the sun. of the Venakra, and therefore it will go and run away, and therefore it will cause damage, and therefore you are going to be held liable. Okay. The word Tzedakah, Rashi says, means tachbulos, all sorts of machinations in order to get itself out. Okay. Then we go and quote the last part of the Mishnah, Hosyu listim, listim chayavim. If you had armed robbers that went and took the animal away, so then the armed robbers are going to be chayavim if it does any damage. We turn to Nun Vav Omud Beis. The word says pshita, obviously, kivin diavkua. Since these listim took the animal out from the rishus of the owner and took it outside, so of course they're going to be chayavim. Pshita, kivin diavkua, they took the animal out. So Kaim Alam, Birushusai, they are now Konin. As Rashi tells us, Iko Mashicha, they must have done a Kinyan Mashicha, and since it's a Shinu Rishus, the owners have given up hope on it, and therefore, in this situation, the Habi Knuya, Luchomile, they own it 100%. And that's why the Chayiv, Kivin the Afkua, Kaim Alam, Birushusai, Luchomile. So why would I need the Mishnah to tell me that they're responsible? Of course they are. So the Gemara says, Ella, Lo Tzricha, the Kamulah Biapa. We're dealing over here where he just stood in front of the animal and didn't lead it directly out, but he just forced it, so to say, to move in that direction. The animal wanted to turn left, but he blocked left. The animal wanted to turn right, he blocked right. Oh, the animal only could go straight forward, and that will get it out of the owner's rishus, the original owner's rishus, into the ganav's rishus. In this situation, you might have said that you should be potter here because you didn't exactly lead the animal. It's like a grom of benizokim, and you should be potter b'dinei adam. So therefore, the chiddush is know that you're chayev. Now, kiha d'yomer rabba omer rab masna omer rab. This idea was expressed when Rabba came from Eretz Yisrael. He said on the name of rab masna, said on the name of rab. Hamamid behemas chaveiro. If you go and place your friend's animal, al komas chaveiro, into his grain field and put it right next to the grains, so chayiv, then you're chayiv. You directly, that's called directly doing damage. And therefore, that's what Rav Masna tells us over here in the name of Rav. And the Gemara says, really? Maimid? Pshita. If you're telling me that you put the grain right near the animal, so then it's obviously that you're going to be chayiv. Why would you think you're not going to be chayiv? So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha dekom le'a b'yapa. We're dealing over here where he stood in front of the animal and he didn't give it to him directly with his hands, but he forced the animal to go in one direction, and therefore, when it went in that direction, it went and ate the grain. So therefore, you didn't exactly lead it over here by being mamadit. What you went was, and you stood in such a way that it couldn't go to the left or to the right, and it went straight ahead, which is where you wanted it to go. And therefore, you are going to, in this situation, not be chayv, because it's a Grumba binizokin, and you didn't do it directly, and therefore you're going to be potter. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef, the Bible says Rav Yosef, Hikisha Amrislan. You taught us that this case that Rav Masna had said. Now, Rav Yosef had gotten sick, and he forgot a lot of his learning, which went throughout Shas, and the Bible reminds him of what his learning is. So he told Rav Yosef, you had taught us, Hikisha Amrislan. In the case of Rav Masna, you had taught us that it was dealing with the case of Hekisha, where he gave it a zetz. So that's a direct causation. The listim nami dekishua. And the listim also is they gave a direct zetz over here. And as a result of this direct zetz, this is why they're chayiv, because you did this directly and not indirectly. Gemara says, Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef. Alternatively, Abayi said to Rav Yosef, Hekisha Amaslan, you taught us this din in the case of Hekisha, we gave it a zetz. The listim nami dikishua, and the listim case is also talking about we gave it a zetz, and that's how the animal got out. Okay, next part of the Mishnah is quoted, Misara l'roa, nichnas roa b'chule. If you gave over the sheep to a shepherd to go and watch it for you, so the Baal of that animal is no longer chayiv for it. He gave it over to the shepherd. The shepherd is going to be responsible. The Gemara says, Amre tachtov deman. Who are we talking about that he takes the place of, right? The Mishnah said that he will be tachas, he'll be instead of the original owner. That's what it sounds like. Tachtov deman. Ilema tachtov de Baal behema, that he's taking the place, the shepherd goes and takes the place of the original owner of the animal. So, Tanina Chodav Zimna, we already learned that. We had that just a week or two ago. Andaf nem dalit omid beis. Why would you tell it to us again? Tanina Chodav Zimna, we already learned it over there. Misara l'sho mechinam, u'l'shoel, u'l'nosei sochar, u'l'socher. You gave it over the animal to any one of the four types of shomrim In this situation, kula nichlis utachas abalim, all of them will take the place of the owner, and therefore they will now be liable. So any one of these four shomrim will take the place of the Baal HaShor, and the Baal HaShor is no longer liable, and they are liable instead. Kulam nichlis utachas abalim. So we already learned this previously. Why do you have to tell it to me again? Shmuel says, you're right. Elo tachtov de shomer. It means that if you give it over to a shomer, you give it over to one shepherd, then that shepherd gives it over to another shepherd. In this situation, the second shepherd has taken the place of the first shepherd and would be held responsible. Shmuel says, v'shomer kamoa iftar le legamre. According to this, then the first shepherd would be totally potter. So this now could be used as a kasha against Rabba. This should slug up Rabba. What did Rabba say? The Amar Rabba. Rabba said elsewhere, Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer Chayim. If you go and are as a Shomer, go take the item that you're supposed to watch, and you gave it over to somebody else to watch. So Rabba had said, Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer, you're going to be Chayim. But here, we just brought down that the first person is not Chayim. It's only the second Shomer. Only the second shepherd is Chayim. But according to Rabbah, the first person should be Chayim. Shomer, Shemosel Shomer, the first Shomer, the first shepherd that gave it over to a second shepherd, the first shepherd retains his obligation. He's Chayim. As the Gemara will explain, because the person that he gave it to is not necessarily trustworthy to the owner of the item. So the owner of the item gave it to the first shepherd. He said, you I trust. No, you're going to give it to somebody else? I don't necessarily trust them. So therefore, if there's damage done, I don't believe him when he says he's making a shrewd that he wasn't negligent. I only did it with you. And therefore, you I would believe. Him I don't believe. And therefore, Rava tells us, Shomer, Shemosel, Shomer, Shayim. But that goes against what we just said. In Rava's case, Shomer number one gives it over to Shomer number two. Shomer number one retains the obligation. He's the one that's Chayev. Where in the case that we have now, Shomer number one, our Mishnah said, when he gives it over to Shomer number two, is no longer Chayev. Shomer number two is now going to be Chayev. And Tiyuvta l'Rava. So Rava says, no. Amalach Rava, when we said, my Misaru l'Rava, when he gives it over to the Rava, it doesn't mean a regular other Rava. It means le'barzile. What does the word Barzile mean? Rashi says, L'talmido. He's giving it over to his student shepherd. So shepherd number one is a full-blown master shepherd. And he's training this junior shepherd. And he gives over the animal to this Barzile, to this junior shepherd. The Orche de Roa le'mimser le'Barzile. It is normal for this Roa to have apprentices and to have the apprentices do the work of watching the animal. So the owner of the animal who gave it over to the first shepherd can't say to him, hey, listen, I didn't want you to give it to your apprentice over here, your student, your Talmud. No, it's understood. The normal practice is the roa, it's the urche, the roa, lemimsa, lebarzile, that they do give it over. And therefore, that is why in this situation, you can't say that the first person retains his responsibility. No, he gave it over to the barzile, and now the barzile is the one that is responsible. So therefore, there's no kashan on Mishnah. That's the first way to learn Rava's statement. Ikad Yamre, others learned it as follows. The Mishnah said, Midiktani Misar Leroa, when the Mishnah said he gave it over to a shepherd, Velo Ketani Misar Leacher, and it did not specifically state that he gave it over to just someone else. It specifically said he gave it over to a shepherd. So Shema Mina, what's the Chiddush over here? My Misar Leroa, what does it mean to teach us that he gave it over to the shepherd? It meant Mosar Roa Lebarzile. It means, actually, that the shepherd gave it over to his student, to his Talmud, the student shepherd. The Urche de Roa Lemimsa Lebarzile, as is normally practiced and custom. That's how you train the future shepherds. They do an internship in the hospital, so they get trained. So the intern shepherd over here is learning how to be a shepherd. But if he had given it over, if the first shepherd had given it over to anybody but his intern, but his apprentice, but his Talmud, then he would not be Chayav. Oh, now this is in accord with what Rava said. That Rava had said, the Amar Rava, Shomer, Shemosel, Shomer, Chayav. That a regular Shomer who gives it over to another Shomer, so the first Shomer is still going to be Chayav. This goes perfectly in accord with that because we said only if you get over to the Barzile are you going to be Potter. But if you give it over to anybody else, you're going to be Chayav still. So it says, no, not necessarily so. Amri lo. Why? Because Dilma may be Urcha de Milsa Ktani. Our Mishnah is just saying the typical case that happens. Urcha de Milsa, the normal case that happens. However, Buhu Adil Yacher, even if he doesn't give it over to his Talmud, he often gives it over to other people. And therefore, you can't say that it meant his Talmud and only his Talmud. The bottom line is it means anyone. If he gives it over to anyone, so then that second person will take his place, and therefore, there is no kasha here. Okay. Mark continues and says, Itmar, shomer aveda. If a person finds an aveda, then he has to watch it. So what status of watchman does he have? So Rab Amar, kishomer chinam domi. He is like a shomer chinam. He'll only be chayv for pshia. He will not be chayv to pay for any other damage, such as gineva, aveda, or ones. So he won't have to go and pay for any of those. That's Rab's opinion. He's like a shomer chinam. Rav Yosef, on the other hand, says, Amar kishomer socher domi. This apprentice, this student, intern, shepherd, is like a shomer socher, like a paid watchman, and therefore the apprentice would be chayev, like a shomer socher would be chayev. Now, Rab Amar kishomer chinam domi, Rab said, we treat him like a shomer chinam, he's only going to be chayev for pshia, because my henoah komotile. What did he do? He gained nothing over here, so we give him the minimal responsibilities. Just don't be negligent. Whereas Rav Yosef Omar kishomer socher dami. No, we don't pay him as a shomer chinam. We pay him as a shomer socher, and therefore he has a status of a shomer socher. And as a result, Rav Yosef tells us over here kishomer socher dami, and the reason why he's getting paid. Why is it called he's getting paid? Because bahahi henoah, with that benefit that he gets, the low boil of beis say lei rifto li anya. He's taking care of this animal right now. He's walking the dog, and he doesn't have his wild dog. And the poor person comes to him and says, listen, can you give me a couple of bucks? So his house is right there. Normally, he might have the responsibility to go and give this poor person staka and run back to the house and go get it. But since he's osek over here with the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, so he's walking the sheep to make sure that it gets pasture. So therefore, in this situation, he's saving himself from the mitzvah of doing, having to give this poor person staka. So he's like a shomer socher, having a shomer socher. Alternatively, others explain it as follows. Rav Yosef Amar kishomer socher dami. Rav Yosef says that he is a shomer socher because kiven derachmana shabde bal karche. Because when you see a lost object in the street, you have forbidden. You're not allowed to walk away. You have to go and pick that object up. So kibon derachmana shabde bekol karche. You're forced to go pick that up and take care of it. Hilkoch kishomer socher dami. Since the Torah forced you to do this, so therefore it's like you're shomer socher. Now, this machlokes between Rabba and Rav Yosef is a good break point because we're going to have a whole number of cases. We have a simon over here, hechzira, liolam, hoshev, chia, amris, ishbar, socher. So there's many, many different items over here in this mnemonic that will all try to bring rise one way or the other to this machlokes of Rabba and Rav Yosef. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll go over this machlokes tomorrow and go through all of these cases. With this, we conclude today's shiur.